VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us here today on Crosstalk. Just before we get to our guest and topic today, yesterday we had a guest on who mistakenly had stated that Hal Lindsey had passed away. Well, that statement was made in error, as Hal is still alive and in his early 90s, but just wanted to pass along our apology for that error, as that was misstated by our guest yesterday. Well, ladies and gentlemen, for over 30 years, our guest today has been sounding the alarm over the dangers of Agenda 21 to human society. As a result, he's been labeled a conspiracy theorist. He's been accused of speaking fear and hate. The Southern Poverty Law Center has issued four separate reports on him. He's been under attack on the front page of the Sunday New York Times. Atlantic Magazine scoffed at an anti-Agenda 21 nuts declared that the UN was using bike paths to achieve world domination. And Newsweek has called the likes of our guests as being extremists, spreading untruths about Agenda 21 to discredit the UN by claiming it's attempting to enforce a new world order to seize private property and advance the causes of communism and to crush all dissent. Well, who is this individual? He's on the phone with us today. His name is Tom DeWeese. Tom is the president of American Policy Center, one of the nation's leading advocates for individual liberty, free enterprise, private property rights, personal privacy, back-to-basics education, and American sovereignty and independence, protecting our constitutionally guaranteed rights. He's the author of a couple of books, Sustainable, The War on Free Enterprise, Private Property, and Individuals, and also a political novel called Erase. Tom, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, it's my pleasure, Jim. Always good to be with you.
I guess you're public enemy number one.
You know, you just got to consider the source.
Yeah. Well, I one of the points, and there has been so much, and what's alarming, Tom, is so many of the things that you have warned about are actually on our doorstep right now. But one of the points that you have stated in response to these accusations against you says, hey, I'm not making this stuff up. Rather, you're actually quoting their very words.
Yeah, that's all I've ever done. I'm not creative enough to come up with this stuff. And as you say, so much of this is being put in place. Well, how is that possible? Because this is what they've been warning us. They've been very vocal about it, if you've done your research and looked at it, which I did. And, then all I did was say, here's what they said they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And for that, I was called all those names that you just said.
Yeah. Well, we're talking about world domination today, the agenda of that. And you are mocked, Tom, for even suggesting that the UN is pursuing a new world order. I mean, there are some of their highest ranks that have been talking about a new world order.
Absolutely. And we're hearing it. They've flat out said it in Australia just recently, said those words. And, when they brought out Agenda 21 in 1992, first they said, this is a comprehensive blueprint for the reorganization of human society. When we began to jump on it and say, no, we're not going to, here's what this is. And then they said, oh, no, this is just a voluntary idea, that just some good suggestions on helping the environment and, helping us live a better life. That's all it is, just a suggestion.
Yeah, well, we're going to read some of the quotes from their suggestions, this comprehensive blueprint for the reorganization of human society, what is really meant by that. There's a pretty stunning quote here from a group known as the Club of Rome.
Yeah. The Club of Rome is one of the main NGO organizations working directly with the United Nations, helped create a lot of these policies, and so you want me to read that?
Yeah, go ahead and read that quote.
Yeah. They said, effective execution of Agenda 21 will require a profound reorientation of all human society, unlike anything the world has ever experienced. I'm sorry, this is the thing from Agenda 21 that came after that. The Club of Rome quote is, the common enemy of humanity is man. In searching for a new enemy to unite us, we came up with the idea that pollution, the threat of global warming, water shortages, famine and the like would fit the bill. All of these dangers are caused by human intervention, and it is only through changed attitudes and behavior that they can be overcome. The real enemy then is humanity itself.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. And as you look at what's happening now, you know, what's interesting is that over the years, as I've tried to fight Agenda 21, I knew that one of the main tenets of it was lowering the population.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't talk about that a lot because I was having enough trouble getting people to understand a threat on their property, you know, in their businesses and so forth. And I thought if I brought all that in, I would really get tinfoil hats and people wouldn't listen. But it has become the forefront of their entire plans in this last couple of years. And, you know, the enemy, real enemy is humanity itself is what they said.
Well, they won't believe your words here, Tom DeWeese, but maybe they'll listen to Bill Gates. And I may have aired this before with you, but I think it really bears it out now as you talk about this population control. And he also brings in this whole aspect of vaccinations. We need to, if we do really good on vaccinations, we'll reduce the population. Folks, think about this, but this is about 90 seconds long. Let's listen to this compilation of four different clips from Bill Gates.
First, we've got population. Now, the world today has 6.8 billion people. That's headed up to about 9 billion. Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, health care, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%. But there we see an increase of about 1.3.
$10 billion over the next 10 years to make it the year of the vaccines. What does that mean exactly?
Well, over this decade, we believe unbelievable progress can be made, both inventing new vaccines and making sure they get out to all the children who need them. We could cut the number of children who die every year from about 9 million to half of that if we have success on it. And the benefits there in terms of reducing sickness, reducing the population growth, it really allows the society a chance to take care of itself once you've made that intervention.
But if we go back to the key metrics, which is, you know, what the foundation looks at on all its stuff. Can we drop the number of children who die per year in half and get the reduction in sickness and population growth that comes with that? That is sort of front of mind all the time.
We've seen now there's a type of foreign assistance for vaccines or for AIDS treatment that are incredibly effective. These are all about saving lives. And the good news is that as you make those breakthroughs, the population growth in the country goes down. These are all about saving lives.
All about saving lives, Tom. You know, we reduce the population by these vaccinations?
Yeah, it's all about saving lives except the ones they don't want. What about if it's your children, your parents, your grandparents? Oh, well, you know, this is all for the good of the common good.
Yeah. If we really do a good job on vaccinations, we'll reduce the population. Friends, you really got to think that thing through. Is there an agenda behind it? That's not Tom DeWeese or Jim Schneider saying that. That's Bill Gates. And Tom, there's no secret about where he stands on this issue of overpopulation. There's no secret about where he stands on vaccinations themselves and his investment in vaccinations. I mean, he is making, and in his own words, a huge return on his investment in the proliferation of vaccines and their study and development and so forth. He is very pro-vax and very pro-reducing the population.
Yeah, and as I said at the very beginning, they have been saying this stuff outwardly. I mean, there you have all those clips. They're saying it, and people haven't been paying attention to it. And then when we started to make any kind of impact on it, then they started to attack that we were all a bunch of nutcases.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's hit another issue. I mean, we now have a climate czar in the Biden administration who hypocritically flies all over this planet warning about harmful CO2 emissions. But share with us just a few quotes as it pertains to climate change in this whole topic of world domination.
Yeah, well, the climate change issue is the center of all this. The threat of environmental Armageddon has been their real weapon, and I've had him say to me many times, it doesn't matter how many rights you think you have if you don't have a planet to stand on. So there's the fear. Well, where they came with this, for example, Timothy Wirth, who's the president of the United Nations Foundation, said, we've got to ride this global warming issue. Even if the theory of global warming is wrong, we will be doing the right thing in terms of economic and environmental policy.
Hmm.
And that's become the root of it. Christine Stewart, she was a former Canadian minister for the environment, said, "No matter if the science of global warming is all phony, climate change provides the greatest opportunity to bring about justice and equality in the world." What does that have to do with protecting the environment? Nothing. It is about the, as I said right from the very beginning, the comprehensive blueprint for the reorganization of human society. Paul Watson, from one of the founders of Greenpeace, said, "It doesn't matter what is true. It only matters what people believe is true."
Wow.
Can it get any clearer
than
this?
Yeah. And again, that's in their words, and it is about deception. It is about really about control, Tom.
Absolutely. It's a control. And control you with fear. You don't dare do this, don't dare do that, because this might happen. And I think one of the clearest ones here is Cristiana Figueres, Executive Secretary of the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change, was really honest with this one. And they've gotten more honest as the years have gone by. They said, "This is the first time in the history of mankind that we are setting ourselves the task of intentionally, within a defined period of time, to change the economic development model that has been reigning for at least 150 years since the Industrial Revolution."
Wow. So as we see the economics of where we are today in our society, all with COVID and response and all that's taking the supply chain, everything, that's really not by accident, is it?
No, not a bit. They know exactly what they're doing, and free enterprise, private property, and individual liberty are the main targets in this, as the main weapon is the fear with climate change.
Well, we've already talked about the population issue here, too, some of the quotes from Gates. But I saw one quote that you found here as well from, I believe it was John Davis of the Earth First Journal: "Human beings as a species have no more value than slugs." And there are those that are wanting to give personhood characteristics to rivers or to trees, but not to human beings.
Yeah. This attack on humans, if only human beings would get out of the way, then the rest of the environment would have a chance, you know, and that's how they look at it. And quote after quote after quote, you know, Dave Foreman and, you know.
Yeah, read the Dave Foreman quote, because that is critical to where we are.
Yeah, this is a guy who is one of the major forces behind this. He said, "My three main goals would be to reduce human population," ready, "to about 100 million worldwide."
Wow.
"Destroy the industrial infrastructure and see wilderness with its full complement of species returning throughout the world."
I don't know that he was first in line, though, to be part of the human depopulation, was he?
Haven't seen him do any of them do yeah. that yet. And they've gone back and forth. He says 100 million, and they, you know, trying to come up with a real figure to shoot for. What I've seen they've kind of settled on is a billion. So we only have to get rid of about 6 or 7 billion people.
Tom DeWeese, our guest here today on Crosstalk, back in a minute here on the VCY American Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how old is the moon?
Chris, according to evolution, the Earth and the moon are about the same age, nearly 5 billion years old. But there's a problem. We observe that the moon is slowly moving away from the Earth. If you assume that it's always been moving away, then you can calculate how close it was to Earth at some time in the past. A billion years ago, the moon would be in contact with the Earth. Scientifically, this could not be. The Bible says that on day one of creation week, God created the Earth, but it was on day four that He created the moon. They were not ever connected. Chris, it shouldn't surprise us, but the scientific information fits with the biblical information. Science supports Scripture and not evolution or long ages. Let's go back to Genesis and get it right.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. With us today is Tom DeWeese, public enemy number one, it seems. But he is the president of American Policy Center and advocates for private property rights and personal privacy and individual liberty and free enterprise and sovereignty here as a nation as well. All those things that we are seeing under attack here today. And also, Tom, it's not just happening here in the United States of America. These things are underfoot in nations all over the earth.
Well, it's a global agenda that they're putting together. And, you know, one of the main things we're seeing, especially like with the massive invasion of our border and so forth, people say, why are they letting this happen? Because one of the main tenets of all this is no national sovereignty.
Mm-hmm.
And, take away all those borders and just let everybody rush in here any way they want. And the other part of that is that they have to redistribute the wealth and the power of the United States in order to fit into the global picture. And that those are all, they all go together with that.
Indeed. Well, Tom, there's another aspect, and that is we hear more and more of sustainable development or being sustainable. You are saying that's really a key buzzword for globalism.
Absolutely. It has nothing to do with protecting the environment. It has everything to do with control. And I think one of the other quotes I used in there, Rosa Corey, who was the head of Democrats against Agenda 21, which made her a very powerful voice because they didn't know what to do with her. Unfortunately, Rosa passed away just a few months ago. But she said, I think she had the best definition of sustainable development in Agenda 21 I've ever seen. She said, UN Agenda 21, sustainable development is the action plan to inventory and control all land, all water, all minerals, all plants, all animals, all construction, all means of production, all information, all energy, and all human beings in the world. Inventory and control is what sustainable development is all about.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty all-encompassing.
Yeah, and it's true. That's what we've seen them do.
What about the enforcement of the global agenda that's taking place locally?
Well, this is key. And, you know, the UN Commission on Global Governance said regionalism must precede globalism. We foresee a seamless system of governance from local communities, individual states, regional unions, and up through the United Nations itself. Now, what you're seeing happen in city councils, county commissions, particularly across the country, is this drive for regionalism. You have 10 or 15 counties that all join into one regional group. And what happens here is these regions, first of all, the people who are serving on these regional councils, while they might be elected officials, are not elected to it. They're appointed. That gives them the freedom to do things in the back room they wouldn't normally do. The regional councils are the ones that will apply for the grants that lock in all these counties. Even if a county doesn't need one of these programs, doesn't fit it, it has to go through with it. And so this is, and what they do then is they're taking government further from the people because you can't talk to these regional councils. You go up there and try to talk with them and say, hey, this is a problem, whatever. Nobody's responsible. They won't respond to you.
And what's so important to know, again, on the local level, we are seeing the big money coming in through organizations funded by George Soros. I mean, he knows the importance of taking control on a local level.
Exactly. And this is why I have put everything we're doing in fighting back on this stuff facing, the local level, working on the local level. City councils, county commissions, state legislatures have more power than most of them understand they do, and they can stand up to these things and say no to the federal government and push back on this.
Well, again, we've talked about the economic system coming under attack as well, and we've talked about the Great Reset. And, Tom, again, these are not words that you are creating. You've got quotes even from individuals that are working to reset the entire economic system.
Yeah, absolutely they are. I find it very interesting. A lot of people don't know who Ted Trainer is. He's an author who wrote a book called Transition to a Sustainable and Just World but he really hit it on the head of exactly what they plan to do. He said, what then is the most effective transition strategy? The essential aim is not to fight against consumer capitalist society, but to build the alternative to it. And that is exactly what we're seeing here. And as we're facing now, where businesses can't find anybody to work, and the government is giving people what really is the prerequisite for a universal income coming from the government giving you all of your necessities to live with, and that's the alternative. That's what they're building.
They're trying to turn the United States of America into Venezuela, South America.
Yep, absolutely.
Well, and indeed, we also have this whole aspect here of the shutdown of our economy, Tom, and we know that they have done this. They have seen with glee the shutdown and its impact due to COVID. But there are those that are also advocating that we need to declare another global emergency due to global climate change and need to do the same thing all over again.
Well, the COVID lockdown was I totally believe was a practice run. Let's see what we can do, what we can go for, how far we can get away with it. And again, they keep coming back to this climate change scare tactic, and we've got to flatten the curve for the climate change curve. This is the next line that they're using, and they were all during the lockdown in 2020. They were holding online meetings, Zoom meetings, things like that, working to prepare to put all this stuff in place under the name of climate change into city councils, county commissions, and so forth. Yeah.
Tom DeWeese with us today. We're talking about this world domination agenda, and every one of these areas we could really hit on quite a bit. But Klaus Schwab, who is certainly a big proponent of the Great Reset, head of the WEF, I see a quote here: "No industry or business will be spared from the impact of these challenges. Millions of companies risk disappearing, and many industries face an uncertain future. A few will thrive." Here's another audio clip that that we have of Klaus Schwab.
So people assume we are just going back to the good old world, which we had, and everything will be normal again in how we are used to normal. In the old fashion. This is, let's say, fiction. It will not happen.
There is no plan for what we understand, Tom, as going back to normal. There is no going back to what we once knew this country or this world was.
Yeah, and the other thing he said was no one will own anything and they'll be happy about it.
Wow.
Possessions.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like a John Lennon song.
Yeah. Well, our country, as we look at it today, Tom, we're really a nation of chaos at this time.
We are. And, Al Gore said, we're going to go through a wrenching transformation, to put all this stuff in place. That's what we are now in the midst of, the wrenching transformation.
Tom, in an article, folks, you'll find it on his website at AmericanPolicy.org, describes even further that chaos. And just listen to this scenario. With our economy locked down, the ability to own and control our own property is disappearing. Public schools are becoming factories, turning out compliant global village idiots. The national debt is soaring. Gas prices are skyrocketing. The nation's healthcare system is being destroyed. Christianity is being assaulted. And the growing threat of a total surveillance society is watching our every move. Tom, this is not just as we go back to conspiracy theory, these are actually things that are going on right now and actually, full-fledged goals that those who are trying to destroy our nation to get us to their Great Reset, this is what they're all about.
Absolutely, and people see it. I try to find something positive in everything, because I believe if we are completely down and feel we're doomed, we give up and we don't fight back.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to find positive in it. And what I'm seeing is that, as I said earlier, that they're moving faster than they should have. To if they really wanted to put all this in place, people are seeing it, and everything that you just went through there, people are seeing that, and I see more people fighting back. You see people in the at the school boards and on the critical race theory.
Okay, let me interrupt you there. Though what's happening at school boards, Tom, parents are going and speaking out in this aspect and holding their leaders accountable, and you got those that are trying to push a directive that these parents would be deemed to be domestic terrorists.
Yep, I saw that when a report on that today, looking at the who they are, starting to investigate them. Yeah, they want to stop us from speaking out at any level. Live in fear, do not move. And of course, the more policies they put in place where our food is coming from them, not from a free
right.
market, our income is coming from them, and so we are terrified to move. Now is the time when we have got to stand up and stop it.
Well, let's talk about one practical way here, Tom, because there is a great divide that's going on and big debate in the House and the Senate of the United States as it pertains to the so-called infrastructure bill and the $3.5 trillion budget bill. Isn't these two pieces of legislation a huge concession taking us down the pathway to the goals of Agenda 21, to the goals of Agenda 2030?
Absolutely. It's massive. Huge amounts of things in those bills are the Green New Deal and all of that. They come at us, when they introduced the Green New Deal, and you had people like Mitch McConnell sitting there with this puzzled look on his face, saying, well, that's kind of radical. But they put those very items into these bills. I mean, that $3.5 trillion infrastructure bill has got a thing where they're going to tax every mile you drive in your car. It's going to eliminate private property ownership. And, what I mean by that is the zoning protections for private property homes. And then they move, the big high-rises into those neighborhoods and all that. That's what they mean by infrastructure. And, it's all tied up together. Everything they've been advertising is basically in those two bills.
Yeah, and then there's the human infrastructure aspect they put in this too, and really it's about human control. It's this preschool, universal preschool. It's the free college education, all the freebies, the handouts. Again, it is a wish list of the most radical left here of our nation. It's as if Bernie Sanders himself is authoring all of these pieces. It's as if Joe Biden became Bernie Sanders.
Exactly. And Sanders is saying that, he advocated earlier that we needed to spend $6 trillion,
yes.
And that wasn't enough, but the $3.5 trillion is a start.
Yeah, bare minimum, really.
Yeah.
Tom DeWeese is with us here today. Friends, we're just upon a break, and when we come back, we're going to hit one more issue before we get to the phone lines, and this is something that Tom warned about, has been warning about for a long time, and it's the war on beef. And you see what's happening right now in the so-called breakups of the supply chain. Folks, I've gone to grocery stores, and you cannot believe, and maybe you do because you've seen it yourself, how bare shelves are, how bare the meat counter cases are, and the escalating prices that are taking place. Well, Tom has talked about all these things previous, and we're going to readdress them right after the break, so stay with us. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. And by the way, his website, AmericanPolicy.org, AmericanPolicy.org. We encourage you to sign up and get his articles as they come out and stay plugged in to the issue as the plan for world domination is very much right before us. We'll be right back.
While living in this era of pandemics, economic chaos, natural disaster, and political strife, you may feel tempted to question whether God is in control. Yet when you look to the Bible, you'll find these events actually signal that His promises will soon be fulfilled. In the book Aftershocks, author Jeff Kinley reveals how current societal and global trends foreshadow the nearness of the end times and how the prophecies about what is to come should renew your passion to lovingly proclaim Christ. Aftershocks addresses the global crisis, the rise of anti-Semitism, the end times economic collapse, and how the COVID pandemic is being used to promote globalism. Aftershocks is available for a donation of $16 or more by calling VCY America at 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America as we're talking about this agenda of world domination and the control and power from on top down onto regions and folks, what's happening, it's happening on the local level on so many cases. We've got some, in my opinion, horrendous pieces of legislation that are sitting right now in the House and Senate for this infrastructure legislation, this budget bill that is putting, just cramming stuff into these things that is a, it would make AOC sleep peacefully at night to have these things pass. But I'd like to address one other issue with you here today. And Tom, I was watching news recently, and they're talking about the skyrocketing grocery prices and the supply chains being broken. And particularly, they were talking about meat and that of beef, and indicated that I saw actually in actuality that somebody had talked about this conglomeration down to four major meat packers. And since that has happened, beef has been escalating. Now, Tom, I just smile because you've been warning about this for years. As a matter of fact, you did a program with us on Crosstalk June 17th, 2019. Listeners, you can go back in our archives and listen to that. But you are warning about the growing push to destroy the beef industry. So I understand, Tom, though, we're seeing all these things happen. You're not surprised by what's happening because you've been warning about this for a long time.
Yeah. It keeps coming, keeps coming. One of the things, you mentioned the four packers. The four packers are Cargill, Tyson, JBS, and National Beef. And what a lot of people don't understand is that the actual cattle growers don't have a market for their product, for their beef. It's these packers that have the market. And so the cattlemen have to bring their cattle into these four, and they decide what the market's going to be, what the price is going to be. And what they've been steadily doing is getting their beef cheaper from foreign countries, and the American beef growers have been pushing for a country of origin labeling, so that people would know where it comes from. Well, these guys are so clever. One of the things they come up with now is instead of saying this is from the United States, this beef is from the United States, it will now say it's been processed in the United States. And that, that's the liars that they are as they do this stuff.
So if you've got beef coming from China and other countries, it's going to say processed in the United States?
That's the goal, yeah. And what they're doing. And what they've put together, this is what the other half of this, is they created the Global Roundtable for Sustainable Beef. And all these four packers are a major part of that. And also a major force in that Global Roundtable for Sustainable Beef is the World Wildlife Fund. The World Wildlife Fund has said to save the Earth, it is demanded that we change human consumption habits away from beef. And yet here they are sitting at the table with the beef, deciding what's happening there. And the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, which is the largest association supposed to represent beef in America, is that organization. And when I, as you're talking about, a couple years ago, we went on the attack on this. The National Cattlemen's Beef Association, the vice president for them, wrote an article which I think was the wimpiest thing I have ever seen in my life. And what he said in this, it was entitled, Why Sustainable? And he said, well, groups like the World Wildlife Fund and many others have tremendous influence over corporations in the United States and in foreign countries, and we needed to get a seat at the table to allow this conversation on sustainability. Mm-hmm. And on and on and on like this. And I made the comment before a cattlemen's association, the cowboys I knew in the past would have gone over and knocked over that table and said, get out.
Yeah.
Not
in my town.
Yeah.
Wow. So, Tom, I know that, do you have some additional quotes here on the whole food or beef issue?
Well, let me, where the beginning of this started, the President's Council on Sustainable Agriculture under Bill Clinton, he said, the Sustainable Agricultural Task Force is developing an integrated vision of sustainable agriculture, focusing on sustainable production practices and systems, on and on and on. Well, I've got a copy of what was put out called Principles for Sustainable Beef Farming. And here's some of the principles of sustainable beef farming. The question they ask, are the health, safety, and rights of all workers protected? Are all workers sufficiently competent? Is business conducted with integrity? Does the farm positively contribute to the local community? What does this have to do with growing beef? You know, but this is the kind of rules and regulations they're putting on the beef industry, which makes our beef much more expensive. They're closing in on their property, how their property is used, and so forth. All has to be sustainable, and then they get the actual beef from foreign countries that don't have these rules.
Tom DeWeese with us here today, folks. Again, you'll find a lot of info on his site, AmericanPolicy.org. And you, if you want to stay informed, if you go to his website, right on the right side of the page, you can enter your email address and subscribe, and you will be able to receive emails and alerts as matters are going on, and lots of information there. Let's open our phone lines here, 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829 here today for Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. The natural question, Tom, people ask is, what can be done? You know, I'm just one person. How am I going to fight these four regional, you know, meatpacking companies? Or how am I going to take on this global roundtable for sustainable beef or deal with those that are pushing this new world order?
Yeah, the only way to do that is really locally. You've got to speak out. And the problem is a lot of people don't know how. They're intimidated to do that. And I think we discussed this before, my idea of organizing at the local level. And, you know, we've got our activist handbook on there, how to do this. We've got a bunch of other tools we've created to go along with it. And being able to do the research, where these things come from, set your goals, what focus on specific issues that you need to go after, get your right spokesman who can really express your positions right. I mean, you got to organize to do that. What we really need, I call it building a freedom pod in your community, but the other part of it is that we need to build a permanent infrastructure for fighting for freedom. We don't do that. And so when these new things come up, we're standing there flat-footed, and we're saying, what's this? Do you know anything about this? Where did this come from? How do we do something? And we don't have that infrastructure. Build the infrastructure, and then when the new ones come out, you can go after it and stop it before they get it in place.
We've got Tim calling from Virginia, Minnesota. Tim, you're on the air.
Hi. Could you address whether farmers are actually plowing under crops under the threat of not getting their subsidies? Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is that happening, Tom?
I have been told that, yes. I mean, they do get these subsidies and for not growing products, and they've been doing that for years, and farmers begin to depend on that. And, you know, I am hearing that this is coming, that this is happening across the country. I can't say for absolute sure that it is, but I've heard that it is.
Spencer, Tennessee, and Ed, you're on the air.
Yes, hello. I'd like to know, when will this Akasha Society begin, and could you give an overview of how things will go in the Akasha Society? Like, will they automatically know our bank accounts, and how will we give offerings at church?
Well, thank you, Ed, for the call, and we haven't gone directly into that topic here today, but Tom, there's no secret right now. I mean, we just aired last Friday the clip with Janet Yellen, who is pushing for, even in this budget bill, for banks, credit unions, financial institutions to report to the IRS everybody's individual, you know, their transactions of $600 or more, the inflows into their accounts, the outflows out of their accounts.
Yeah, and the Biden administration has just picked for controller of the currency a woman who is
yes.
an absolute Marxist.
Yes,
and you know, and this is part of it, step by step, putting all this stuff in place, and so yeah, the getting hold of the money, getting hold of the currency, and getting rid of currency and having it all, you know, just in line. And what's going to happen with that is, you know, once they've done all that, if they want to shut you down, all they have to do is one little press on the computer button, and boom, everything you have is gone. And this is the most dangerous part of everything that they, I think they've put together. And
All electronic transactions. I mean, whether it be that of giving your church offering, whether it be that of getting a soda out of a vending machine. I mean, that is being pushed toward that cashless aspect. And even, folks, watch what's going on. Even with, what was it, Amazon experimenting with this palm reader, Tom, to gain access to some of the Amazon marketplace stores where you just scan your palm and or your hand and be able to do your business that way.
Yeah, it's controlling the market. They have said in quote after quote after quote, the free market system, which is racist and not fair and so forth, and we're going to do away with that. This is the alternative to it. They call this stakeholder capitalism, which is amazing. If you look in all the documents in your community as they do their development programs and stuff, they'll say that we've talked with the stakeholders on this, we've met with them and everything. Stakeholders are not you.
Mm-hmm.
Stakeholders are these non-governmental organizations, private organizations with their private agendas that are playing ball with these global forces to put all that in place. And That's what they intend to do.
Andrew is calling from Marquette, Michigan. Andrew, you're on the air.
Gentlemen, thank you for the program, praying for you daily.
Thank you.
Tom had mentioned, in the past someone would be flipping the tables. Christ
yes.
did mm-hmm. with the tax folks
yep.
there.
Yep.
Where are our Christians in the government flipping the tables and saying, enough is enough.
Yeah.
We know what you're doing. They're very open about it. Yeah. Where are the government officials during these times saying no?
Yeah, we're not going that direction. Thank you, Andrew, for the call. And Tom, there are those who will stand up, but by and large, there's not the broad opposition saying we're not going down this road. I mean, there's many who will, but there are also those who just, I think of the Liz Cheney's out there and others that are just, in name only.
Yeah, they don't bring up these things. They don't stand up. The Republicans are standing there absolutely silent on these things. And, I mean, try to talk to one of them about election fraud. Oh, that's just a conspiracy theory. There's no truth to that, and we're not going to go into that and so forth. And, I mean, has there ever been any clearer evidence in the world? But there it is, and that's what they're doing. They are absolutely silent on this, and I frankly believe that in a lot of places around the country, the Republican Party has been usurped, and the other side is kind of ruling what they do. And I know a lot of people won't agree with that. I had a state representative say to me that I shouldn't say things like that because that hurts the brand. I didn't hurt the brand. Again, it's always my fault.
Right.
But, where are they? We have so many issues for them to stand up and fight like banshees on this, and they sit there and say nothing. There are a few who do, but not enough.
We're going to take a quick one-minute break, and we'll come right back to our callers on hold here. So stay with us, friends. This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Tom DeWeese, our guest here today, as we're talking about this agenda of world domination, and it's playing right out before our very eyes. Back in a minute here on Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewreport.com. Recently, the Archbishop Vigano put out a stunning video clip. It's an hour and a half. Archbishop Vigano, a Catholic archbishop, is warning that Pope Francis, a Marxist and a Jesuit, is pushing the New World Order along with pushing what he says is a crime against humanity and the massacre of the world through the deep state's vaccination. What's ironic is the Archbishop is saying things and warning about things that I have warned about for years in my books, and yet I was called anti-Catholic. Yet here is, who will not call him Pope Francis, but calls him by his name Bergoglio, warning the Vatican has been taken over by the Jesuits, the Marxist, and is pushing a pantheistic New Age occultism for the New World Order. Pay attention, folks.
friends, there's a ton of information that's been given on our program today, and we'd encourage you, as this is put up on our website within just a couple hours, when you see it up there, just go ahead and send links out to others. You can get Crosstalk as a podcast information on our website there as well, but to share links with others so that they can be informed like you're hearing today. And if you don't have that computer access, you want a hard copy CD, we do make them available for donation of $6. You'll need to contact our switchboard here at 1-800-729-9829. Well, holding the longest has been Doug in Ringgold, Georgia. Doug, you're on the air.
Yes, with elite like the Polis, Biden, Schumer's, will they have their wealth taken away? And when will this happen?
Yeah. Okay. What about the elites, Tom? Will they have their wealth taken away? Will they have their private property taken away?
Yeah, this is a question I've asked so many times. You know, if the food supply is gone, the money supply is destroyed, the whole market's destroyed, what are they counting on to get them through? But, you know, always in the past, like with the Soviet Union, they had the United States propping them up. And these guys had their Dachau's on the ocean front and all that kind of stuff. But this time, if they completely destroy the economy, there isn't the United States to save them. I don't think they're smart enough to look forward that far and understand that. If they understood economics, they wouldn't be communists in the first place.
James is calling from Michigan. James, you're on the air.
Oh, James from Skaney.
Skaney.
Thank
mm-hmm.
you. Yes, Skaney, UP. I have a comment. The reason they are not vaccinating these illegals as they come across the border is twofold. Of course, the vaccines are neither effective nor safe, but they may be a little bit effective for a while. They're here to spread disease and enhance the power of the government, and they are here to replace the vac victims, the people that are destroyed in this massive genocide that's going to occur based on all these vaccines and boosters and so on.
Thank you.
And they are here as parasites that are very useful in the New World Order because they are not aware of what's going on. They haven't got principles and knowledge that we do.
James, thank you for the call. Tom, open borders all fits into this aspect as well, as James was bringing up here. And I find it very interesting that even with this whole COVID issue, that we've got Fauci, we got Biden talking about this being a pandemic of the unvaccinated. And yet when Fauci was just asked recently about the illegals crossing our border and coming into our country and unvaccinated, he said, well, they're not the problem. They're not the problem in all of this.
This is the hypocrisy of the whole thing. That is, you know, if you watch that and watch Fauci bounce to this direction, bounce to that direction, depending on what day it is, and then you can figure out how hypocritical and what a lie it all is. None of it has anything to do with what they're saying. It is about subjugation. It is about getting us to be compliant, and you know, to voluntarily give up our liberties out of fear. And whatever lie they have to tell us to scare us to death, that's what they're going to do.
We've got Dominique from Mukwonago, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Hello. This is an excellent program. I was wondering, I missed the first few minutes, so I'll go back and catch that later. But did either of you quote Dr. Mahathir Mohamad, the former prime minister of Malaysia, at the 2015 International Conference of the New World Order?
No, he was not quoted.
I have a quote. Mm-hmm. Is it all right if I do it?
Sure.
Okay, it'll take like 1 minute. Is that still okay?
Please go quickly.
Okay. Elites, people who are very rich, very intelligent, very powerful in many ways, they are the ones who will govern the world. There was not much talk about democracy or choice of leaders. Instead, there's to be a government by this elite who will impose their rules on everyone in this world. And for those who are unwilling to submit to them, there will be punishment. And the peace that we will get from this is the peace of the graveyard. Because the intention also is to reduce the number of people in this world. At the time when the New World Order was enunciated, the population of this world was only 3 billion. The intention was to reduce it to 1 billion. Now the population of the world is 7 billion. There will be a need to kill many billions of people, or to starve them to death, or to prevent them from giving birth in order to reduce the population of this world, unquote.
Hmm. Well, thank you, Dominique. That really sums it up, Tom.
Yeah, that's everything in a nutshell. And it's exactly what they've been saying. I got quote after quote after quote of, cutting down the population. Mm-hmm. And Yeah, that's what they're in. And that's the thing that gets me out of this whole COVID lockdown. Everything with the so-called pandemic is about population reduction. The things that they have done have all led to that. It's taken the forefront.
Duane is calling from Clarksburg, West Virginia. You're on the air, Duane.
Yes, I've been wondering about this myself. They're trying to cut the grocery supply, stuff like this. Would it be feasible for Christians or anybody to actually raise a garden somewhere? Would they come back down them and take their food away from them or what?
Okay, that's a great question, Tom. What about self-sufficiency, growing your own food, raising your own animals?
That is interesting. Last weekend, I spent the weekend at a preppers conference in North Carolina. People, that's what they're doing, preparing for everything. And that question never came up. Would they be allowed to keep what they did? That's a very interesting question. I don't specifically have an answer to it, but it's a good question.
Okay, and Jerry in Janesville, Wisconsin, our final call today.
Yeah, why don't the farmers get together and start their own production facility?
Let me tell you, the cattlemen tried to do that. They set up their own beef processing plant. They spent a bunch of money doing that. These other four in this cabal responded by lowering their prices and putting it out of business, and then they brought it right back up again.
Wow.
That's what they did.
Unreal.
Yeah. Get rid of the competition, lower the prices, even if you have to take a loss so that fifth company coming in would not have access to it. Wow, a lot of information to unpack here today, Tom. We've got 30 seconds left. What do you want to leave with the listeners?
Just want to say, don't get discouraged. We can move forward. Keep your head up. Don't look down. And we've got tools on our website at AmericanPolicy.org. Look at our activist handbook, teaching you how to build that infrastructure, that team in your community to begin to fight back. We can win this. Please don't believe anything other than that.
Tom, thank you as always for being with us here today.
Thank you so much.
Tom DeWeese, American Policy Center. Again, the website, AmericanPolicy.org. Friends, you can be informed. I mean, all you got to do is put your email address in there, and emails will come to you as his articles are released and as he blows the trumpet, so to speak, sounds the alarm on some of these matters. So that's AmericanPolicy.org. And friends, remember to keep your trust in the Lord, keep your eyes on him, and certainly honor him through how you live your life, and be praying for those in authority over us that we might live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Our time is gone. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.